Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, a workplace community of remote workers, freelancers, and entrepreneurs. Gravitate provides all the space and amenities necessary so you can focus on your work, creativity, and growth. With locations in Des Moines and Valley Junction, learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In May of 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a decision that allows states to legalize, tax, and regulate sports betting. Now, in the meantime, since May of last year, 8 states have gone ahead and they've legalized gambling on sports. And Iowa is considering doing the same. On this legislative Monday, we want to explore sports betting with my co-host as well, IPR's Katarina Sestarek, our State House reporter. Hi, Katarina.
Hi, Ben.
We'll be talking to Iowa lawmakers from both sides of the aisle and also talk about concerns over problem gamblers. If you'd like to join our conversation, do you gamble on sports? How should Iowa tailor its changes to the law concerning sports betting? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. At the State House Law Library with Katarina is Wes Erica. He's president and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association. Welcome back to our program, Wes.
Thank you.
Wanted to start off before we get to our lawmakers, and Katarina gives us an overview of the competing bills that are being debated. Wes, I wonder, we're not all gamblers on sports, so before we do address how the laws may be affecting us, walk us through. How do you make a bet on sports?
Well, a person, what we're advocating that a person has to be 21, be able to establish that account, go into a sports book area within a casino, in our version, that they would be 21, that they would then look at the various games, professional and collegiate, and determine the lines, the over-under, the various options that they have, and determine how much they want to place a bet for that particular game, $20, $50, whatever it might be.
So you have to go. You would have to go physically to a casino to do that, and there would be a specific place.
One option that, as a portion of that, yes, that we would have sports books that will be developed within each of our commercial casinos, but also we're advocating for a mobile app, a secure, password protected app that a person has their account, that they prove they're 21, and then they would be able to place a bet on their smartphone or their laptop, anywhere within the state, intrastate only.
We know sports betting has been going on for many years. In what form does it take place now if you're an Iowan who has been sports betting? Has it been a legal way to do that?
There's no legal way in Iowa nor in any other state up to last year's Supreme Court ruling. Only Nevada was the only state that allowed that. And as you mentioned, now 7 other states have joined Nevada. And before that, there was really the illegal activity. Prohibition hasn't worked. It's allowed the illegal activity to flourish on a lot of offshore illegal sites, bookmakers. And so that's what we want to change that, to put it into a more regulated structure. And I believe people will embrace that.
Okay. Join our conversations as we talk about sports betting in Iowa, 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. Katarina Sestarek, let's go back to you, our State House and government reporter there at the State House Law Library. What does it look like right now? Give us the set the scene for us in terms of what bills are out there and the different facets that they represent.
So we just heard the perspective of the casinos in Iowa and the bill that they are hoping to pass. There's also one from the lottery authority perspective, in which the Iowa Lottery Authority would oversee a system that would allow some limited sports betting from convenience stores and grocery stores. And then there's also another bill that sort of favors professional sports leagues and involves fantasy sports as well, online fantasy sports. And then we also heard there will be a fourth proposal that has to do with horse racing as well, that industry. And so maybe Representative Bobby Kaufman, do you want to talk about your plan to go forward with those bills?
Sure, absolutely, and thanks for having me. You know, my job as the chair of the State Government Committee, as well as my job as a floor manager, is this initial subcommittee process to give all the interested parties an opportunity to say their piece. And so that's why you see numerous bills from numerous different entities, so that everyone that has a vested interest in this, you know, the subcommittee process is supposed to be a public process. The public can come and hear what all these folks have to say. I think that's an important component. Going forward, I intend on having a final bill, which would be the compilation of what I think the bill should look like, that we would actually then have a second subcommittee on to bring before the actual committee to be voted on. So this initial process is just a vetting process to give all the interested parties an opportunity to say what they want to say to the public.
Mm-hmm. And how unusual is it to have three big bills in one day in one subcommittee and then in another chamber on another day? Is that a usual process? Or
I think it's very unique, but I think it's unique to the fact that this is a very important topic. And I think important topics that rise to this level need to have a unique process, and that's why I'm doing it the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Representative Kaufman, can you tell at this point, this vetting stage in the process, that there are definite parts that will be in it? There is a consensus on certain aspects already?
I think the tax rate has something that's got a fairly significant amount of consensus on. The recommendation from the casinos is 6.75% on what the tax should be. I think that's been very well received by a lot of my colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Senator Jeff Danielson, a Democrat from Cedar Falls. What is your view on the various proposals at this stage?
Well, I'm supportive of legalizing sports wagering in Iowa, and I'm for all of it. I think it would be a mistake if we let this market pass Iowa by, and we also don't modernize the gaming offerings of our now 23 land-based casinos. Think about that. We have more casinos than we have community colleges, and many of those business models have been locked in place. And so this gives us an opportunity to modernize and innovate with a product that is especially appealing to younger Iowans. So, and I appreciate that Bobby is giving it a full vetting, and then also Robbie Smith in the Senate, who will chair that committee. Eventually, though, you've got to have a product to work off of. The rules require one of those bills to get out of the committee. And so I think more meetings are better than less. I've run these kind of bills before, and I don't mind having another meeting and then another one and another one, because it's a subject that people have to get comfortable with.
Senator Danielson, your party is in the minority in both the House and the Iowa Senate. On this issue, do you feel that the Democrats are at the table, will help shape the bill that is coming into form here? Do you feel welcome at the table at this point?
Well, absolutely. Representative Kaufman and I always work well together on a number of different subjects. So that's his leadership style anyways. But I would also say, having dealt with gaming bills in the Senate for over 15 years, they are always bipartisan. This is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It is an individual senator or representative's own personal experience, their own feelings about it, their own district and the way that it would affect them. Keep in mind, there's 23 land-based casinos. Every one of those has a regional support network. And so this will not be about Republicans and Democrats. It'll be about good public policy.
If you just joined our conversation, we're talking about sports betting in Iowa. It was last May that the U.S. Supreme Court made this all possible, handing down a decision that allows states to legalize, tax, and regulate sports betting. A number of states have gone ahead and already done that, and Iowa is considering doing the same. It's just sort of a matter of what shape that bill will be and what aspects it will have in it. And we are talking with Wes Ericke, President and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association, Representative Bobby Kaufman, Republican from Wilton. He's also chair of the State Government Committee. Senator Jeff Danielson, a Democrat from Cedar Falls. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Do you gamble on sports? Would you like to? How should Iowa tailor its changes to sports betting now that they are legalized in all of the states that decide to do so? 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Let's divert just a moment to talk a little bit about how these other states have legalized gambling. Keith Miller is with it. He's with us. He's a professor of law at Drake University in Des Moines, joining us by phone. Keith, welcome to the program, Professor.
Thank you, Ben.
So you've been listening to a little bit of this conversation when we talk about, you know, we're in the vetting process, all the components kind of out there being considered. How does this sound compared to what other states have done?
The Murphy decision really unleashed a lot of energy that states had to consider adopting sports betting, and the states that have adopted it and are operating casinos have a variety of different approaches, and I think that's to be really something that we would expect, because gambling typically is regulated by states according to the values and culture of a particular state. I think one of the notable things that has happened so far is the strength of mobile betting, the betting on apps and online, that there has been an indication that people are very drawn to that. And I think that that's something that in the legislation in Iowa we're going to really have to pay attention to. I know one of the concerns is that by having too robust of a mobile market, that will take away from people visiting the bricks and mortar casinos. Though it's early, the experience in New Jersey, and Iowa and New Jersey aren't exactly the same type of state, but the experience in New Jersey has been that it's actually helped the casinos business overall. So I think one of the most important components in states is the strength of the mobile betting. And the other characteristic that I think is really notable is no state has agreed to give the major sports leagues any portion of the revenue that is generated from the sports betting.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think a variety of reasons. Some of them may be, in New Jersey, certainly, residual, resentment at the fact that the leagues dragged their feet for so long and took New Jersey through 6 years of litigation. But I also think there's a widespread feeling that the major sports leagues are going to benefit considerably from expanded sports betting, even without any of these fees. And I think last night's Super Bowl is a good example of that. That may have been the most boring Super Bowl ever. If it wasn't, it certainly ranks up toward the top. But when all the ratings come out, I think what we're going to find is it didn't have that much of an effect on audience. People, when sports betting is legal, consume more media. They watch television more. They will watch a football game that is boring and may even have been decided because they have something financial at stake. Now, for better or for worse, people are watching the games and staying with the games for reasons other than just the pure sport of it. They have a financial stake, and this all inures to the benefit of the leagues, the advertising revenue that they'll get, the sponsorship, mm-hmm. the heightened fan engagement. I don't think there's really any question about that.
Keith Miller, go back to the mobile apps, the mobile betting aspect of this, because when I consider that, it is very attractive, clearly very attractive, if you don't have to go to a physical place to place a bet. And yet these are tied to states, and you say the state's laws reflect the individual state's attitudes, culture toward betting. So let's say I get a mobile app here. I may live in Iowa. I may move to another state. How does a mobile app then get tied to a state so that then that state gets this percentage of revenues?
The system that's set up now, according to requirements of federal law, are that sports betting would have to be completely intrastate. So a person who would have an app on their phone or their device in Iowa who said, well, I'm going to be in Missouri over the weekend, but I'm going to take my app with me or my device with me. Mm-hmm. The technology that exists, the geofencing technology that exists, would not allow for a bet to be placed if the person is located outside of the state. People who are in New Jersey and are betting will be able to bet on their mobile phones, but when they go through the Holland Tunnel and enter New York, they're not going to be able to bet anymore because the technology is so well-established, well-advanced, that that geofencing technology would prevent people from doing that.
Hmm. Interesting. Comment from our lawmakers on the geofencing their aspect. Bobby Kaufman, Representative Kaufman, tell us why is that necessary? It certainly is an extra hurdle, or it impedes. Well, it impedes people who would like to, you know, maybe they live in a border area of a state, maybe they travel a lot. It seems like it puts a hurdle up there for people who would like to do this.
Well, I think it's important, and first and foremost, I would concur that the geofencing technology is very advanced and I think very trustworthy. In the beginning of the show, we stated that only 8 states have done this. And so I think it's important in the states that it's not legal, that you're not allowing people a back alley. You know, the whole point of this is to bring this above board, out of the background, and have this highly regulated. And you can't do that if you're potentially a neighboring state that has not legalized it in a state that has. To have that travel component restriction, I think, is very important.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our phones, 1-866-780-9100. Or email us river2river@iowapublicradio.org. Do you gamble on sports? Do you think this is a good idea? Do you not think it's a good idea? Let's go to Joe in Des Moines. He dialed 1-866-780-9100. Joe, welcome to our program with me, Katarina Sestaric, our lawmakers, and Wes Ericke.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was calling in because I just wanted to comment and express my opinion that I think legalizing sports betting would be very harmful to our state. I know several people who have gambling addictions, and one of my close friends, it's wreaked havoc on his life. My fiance's stepfather devastated their family with his gambling addiction at times when she was younger, not even being able to pay for their bills. I think making gambling illegal with an app that you can do on your phone would make it so much easier for these people to get in so much more trouble that I think it's something that shouldn't be allowed. And I think the lawmakers should take a second look at whether this is something that we really want for our state. Mm-hmm. I'd also like just to add real quick that, you know, gambling is a form of entertainment. And if people aren't gambling, they're going to spend their entertainment dollars on something else. So why not something else that's not going to be harmful to their families or themselves?
Okay, Joe, just to make sure you know and our other listeners know, we'll be joined in our second half hour by the executive director of the National Council on Problem Gambling to more specifically answer your questions there, Joe. But thanks for that. And let's ask our lawmakers, Representative Kaufman, are there protections here? Is some of this money that's being generated, will that be put towards those who have a problem with gambling?
Well, we're not currently earmarking the dollars because we don't know how many there are going to be. That conversation can be had. The state-by-state revenue from legalized sports wagering has varied wildly, and I don't want to put any dependent on a particular program on the unknown. But I respect the caller's opinion, but would gently disagree that we're legalizing an expansion of gambling. The expansion of gambling has already happened. This is happening all over the place, in every community, in back alleys, in the dark, with nefarious actors, with bookies that do not have people's families at best heart. That expansion is here. What I want to do is make that expansion above board, regulated, and taxed. And in my opinion, people that need help, that are currently doing this in the shadows, will have a better opportunity to get help to call 1-800-BETS-OFF if they're doing this legally as opposed to now doing it illegally.
Is there a point to be made, though, that if you have it on your phone and can place bets whenever you want, essentially, I mean, is there a danger that that could lead to more problems with gambling addiction?
I think that's negated by the fact that you're initially having to check into a casino, that I believe that app would have the 1-800-BETS-OFF option. Just like now, casinos watch out for problem bettors and recommend help. And I think, again, because it initially starts at a casino, those that need help right now in the shadows will have the opportunity to get it.
Wes Ericke, weigh in on this from the Iowa Gaming Association's point of view.
Yeah, certainly the 19 commercial casinos, Senator Danielson talked about there's 23, but 4 of those are tribal casinos that don't have maybe some of the same regulatory structure. But within our 19 commercial casinos, we've been very proactive with responsible gaming initiatives. And the statistics research shows that about 1% to 2%, less than 2% certainly, maybe experience compulsive behavior. some people are prone to compulsive behavior, whether it's gambling or alcohol, shopping, credit cards, and the like. And so those people need help, certainly. But I think Joe even mentioned about the vast majority of people can go to a casino for the fun and entertainment it's intended to be. And we do have premier entertainment destinations. But for those that need some help, and particularly within the sports betting apps, there will be the responsible gaming buttons that they can click onto that could limit the amount of time they want to play, stop their play for a while, send them to the 1-800-BETS-OFF. So there will be very proactive initiatives that will continue, much like what we've been doing for the last 25 years with our casinos and the relationship we have with our treatment providers here in the state to have a robust awareness, prevention, and treatment program.
Okay. There are estimates that that sports betting wouldn't generate an amount of revenue in the state that is really would be a game changer in terms of, you know, obviously Iowa's had some budget challenges in the past and that it wouldn't really be a game changer in that sense. Maybe Senator Danielson, do you have any thoughts on, I mean, would there just be enough revenue to like cover these problem gambling programs and like maybe the additional oversight that's required for sports gambling? And would there be much left over for anything else in the state?
Yeah. So I think, Joe, as a fellow Iowan, you need to know that I would not support and vote for these bills unless Iowa commits resources to the problem gambling part of this policy. You should be proud that Iowa is either first or second only to Connecticut in the resources that we reserve for problem gaming. We have one of the best programs in the country, and I think that'll come out in the second half hour discussion. You also need to know that problem gaming can be monitored and enforced much easier through app and online technology than on the floor of the casinos. Any erratic behavior can be observed instantly and the feed can be cut off. And also pop-ups and warnings are much easier. And so I think those two things, Iowa is already one of the best states in the country at addressing problem gaming for the small percentage of people who have problems with gaming. But also you should not fear this technology. It is much easier to cut the feed off on an online gamer than it is to walk up to them on the floor and figure out their behavior.
Mm-hmm. Senator Danielson, do you think there's a consensus on this aspect of protecting, guarding against problem gamblers?
Yes, I do. And it doesn't matter whether we carve out any specific revenue in these bills. We already commit some of the highest amount of money of any state towards problem gaming, and I don't see anybody running a bill to reduce that.
Okay, very good. Senator Jeff Danielson, a Democrat from Cedar Falls, along with Representative Bobby Kaufman, Republican of Wilton, Wes Ericke, President and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association, and Keith Miller, Professor of Law at Drake University. We're talking about sports betting. The U.S. Supreme Court handed down a decision last year that allows states to legalize, tax, and regulate sports betting. Several states have gone ahead and done that, and Iowa is considering it as well. We'll talk about it when we come back, and in more specifically, looking at the problem gambling with the executive director of the National Council on Problem Gambling. Join our conversation. Are you for or against, or what facets do you want to make sure are get into this bill? 1-866-780-9100. Ben Kiefer with IPR's Katarina Sestarik. Back in just a moment.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, a workplace community of remote workers, freelancers, and entrepreneurs. Gravitate provides all the space and amenities necessary so you can focus on your work, creativity, and growth. With locations in Des Moines and Valley Junction, learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR.
Glad to have you midstream on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In November's elections, the midterms, Democrat Cindy Axne unseated incumbent David Young to represent Iowa's 3rd District in Washington. Tomorrow on this program, Cindy Axne, Congresswoman Axne, joins us live to discuss her priorities. She's on the House Ag Committee, also the House Financial Services Committees. She'll answer your questions, as many as we have time for, tomorrow on this program. Today, we're talking about sports betting on this legislative Monday. Mondays, we like to look at what's going on at the legislature, issues there during the State House session. Last May, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a decision that allows states to legalize, tax, and regulate sports betting. Several states have gone ahead and legalized gambling on sports. Iowa is considering doing the same. We've outlined that in the first half hour. Joining us, two lawmakers, Senator Jeff Danielson, Democrat from Cedar Falls, Representative Bobby Kaufman, a Republican from Wilton. Wes Ericke is with us, president and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association. Also, Keith Miller, professor of law at Drake University. You can join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Katerina Sestarek, my co-host for this Legislative Monday. Katerina, for those who've just joined us, remind us again of the bills. There are several of them, three bills, you can call them competing bills, so what the essence of those are.
Right, so there are three, soon to be four, bills. One would put sports betting under the purview of casinos. One would put it under the oversight of the lottery authority. One sort of favors professional sports leagues and also includes fantasy sports. And then there's a fourth coming that has to do with racetracks. And so, Representative Kaufman, you've said that you plan to hear all the concerns from stakeholders and then come out with a final bill. Are these four proposals that are out there right now, is there any way that parts of those can be compatible with each other, or is this essentially a win-or-lose scenario for all the competing interests?
I don't think it has to be all win-or-lose. I think there's probably going to be someone who gets more than others, just simply because of the nature of we're dealing with a committee that has members that have ties to different industries. You've got constituents that work at these places. You've got charities that benefit from it. And so I think you're going to have different representatives have different favorites. But in the end, the goal is one unified bill. And I think this public input process is critical, not only for the interests that are pushing for this, but also for the public. They can come and actually give us input. It's the people's bill. And I think that's why this subcommittee process is so important.
And I want to ask about the proposal that has to do with the sports leagues and fantasy sports. Would Iowa lawmakers vote for a bill that would involve paying fees to sports leagues?
I am not willing prior to the subcommittee to tip the scales in or against someone's favor, but I know that there are a lot of lawmakers who have concerns about that, and those concerns will be heard at the subcommittee and then refuted by those that would disagree. But I have made a public commitment. I was on the television program 2 weeks ago, and I'm here today with you, and I've made a public commitment not to tip the scales for or against anyone until that subcommittee.
Senator Danielson, do you have a thought on fees for sports leagues?
Sure. So I've been involved in nearly every gaming bill in the Senate for 15 years, and I remind people that I don't run tax and fee bills. I run good public policy bills, and so I encourage the stakeholders themselves, in this case the leagues. Why would you invite a fee or a tax discussion when you're trying to get a good public policy bill passed? So I don't recommend it. I think the legislators will see that this issue is probably not the most important one in terms of the good public policy, and I hope we stick to that approach.
Keith Miller of Drake University, I want to get back to you so that we realize how big of a business this is. How much money is involved here?
We don't know for sure. We know that the estimates before the Murphy decision was that there was somewhere between $100 billion and $150 billion illegal market going on. The response in the states has been very strong in those which have legalized it. I refer to New Jersey simply because it was the first large state after Nevada to adopt this. And since they began taking sports bets in the middle of 2018, their betting handle has been well over $1 billion. I do think that that's an important distinction for people to understand. It doesn't mean that the state of New Jersey has made $1 billion. It means that that's the amount of money that has been bet. And the amount of money that is actually realized by the sports books, which is the basis for what would be taxed, is much less than that because sports betting is not a high-margin business.
We have a number of callers, listeners, wanting to get in on our conversation. We will do that, I promise, in just a moment. But I wanted to introduce one more guest to this hour. Keith White is with us. We have two Keiths on our show. This is Keith, Keith White. He is Executive Director of the National Council on Problem Gambling. Keith White, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've had a number of callers already express some concern about problem gambling, and we have some others on the line. But first of all, tell us, what is your organization's perspective or position on these changes possibly coming to Iowa or other states?
Well, the National Council on Problem Gambling is and will always be neutral on legalized gambling. So we serve as an objective resource on issues especially related to gambling addiction. And I think as the legislators have said, Iowa has done a very good job over the years of devoting public funds from gambling tax revenue to programs to protect and prevent and treat gambling addiction. But we are and we are concerned about any expansion of legalized gambling, and we believe that particularly sports betting, while it's certainly true, individuals in Iowa are currently betting on sports now illegally or through various illicit means. It is also likely true that when a state legalizes and expands and gives sports betting its approval, an imprimatur, and there will be a lot more advertising now, you will probably have more people gamble, and existing gamblers will be gambling more. So there is likely to be an impact on gambling addiction.
Mm-hmm. So you are, say your organization is totally neutral on gambling, then what are your chief interests and concerns related to the changes possibly taking place here in Iowa and many other states?
Well, as the advocates for programs and services for problem gamblers, we are pushing that to make sure that problem gambling and responsible gaming programs funding research are included in these bills. And so we take the senator and representative's comments very seriously, and we respect and appreciate their position and their commitment to making sure that people with gambling problems are protected. But we would also note that there's only very vague provisions in these bills, and specifically no additional revenue to deal with the expansion of sports betting. So I think these bills are discussion points, and we would urge that any expansion of sports gambling or any legalization of sports gambling includes additional dedicated funds to prevent and treat gambling addiction.
Okay. Keith White is with the National Council on Problem Gambling. Let's go to one of our callers from Carroll, Iowa. Brad is joining us. I see on my screen, Brad, you have a specific point to make about problem gambling, right? Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate the time. Yes, I'm adamantly opposed to this expansion of the gambling that is being proposed by the legislators at this point in time. I've been a gambler for probably 35 years, not long after I became legally able to gamble. But when I started, I was doing it only in Las Vegas because that's where it was only available, other than, I guess, in the dark corners of the bars or whatever. I want to say I've never placed a sports bet in my life, never used a bookie. But I think that if it becomes available in the casinos, which is what sounds like the way it's going, you'll probably find me in the sports book of any number of casinos in Iowa. Mm-hmm. As I told the young lady on the phone, I am a problem gambler. And I dropped $4,000 this weekend in two casinos in Iowa. And not one person came to me from the casino and said, "We think you have a problem." I don't think 1-800-BETS-OFF works. I don't think there's anybody really working that at all. So I think that needs to be really strongly considered, folks.
Okay, Brad and Carol, thank you very much for your concern. Keith White, there's a gambler there, a man who admits he has a problem, and perhaps, he used to only go to Las Vegas, and now he goes to casinos, drops thousands of dollars. What is the effective way to help problem gambling?
Well, first of all, enormous credit to Brad for reaching out and recognizing that if he has that he may have a problem, that's obviously the first step towards getting help. And there's a tremendous amount of resources available through that line, or Brad, you can go directly to the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program online. So there's a lot of help and hope available there for you. But I think he brings up a number of important points in that the expansion of legalized gambling is accompanied by additional problems. But these problems can be prevented and treated, but it's not just, we can't just build it and they will come. There's been a decrease over the years in the amount of public advertising, for example, for the treatment program, and that's resulted in a decrease in admissions. So the notion that, we have resources, don't worry, because gamblers will find them, is not always the best way to proceed with this devastating but hidden addiction. So there really needs to be a lot of outreach. There needs to be a lot more services available, tailored to people like Brad who have a long history of gambling and are probably fairly reluctant to seek help. So this is a disease that breeds in shame and stigma, and it's not enough to say, oh, we have programs available, don't worry, you know, Brad needs to go find them. He has to take responsibility, of course, individual responsibility, but we can do a much better job of making sure that he's got services that are tailored to him, because it's always much more effective to treat this problem than to let it fester.
Mr. Ehrke, do you have a response to what we just heard?
Yeah, certainly. We've had, again, proactive programs, and one of those is a voluntary self-exclusion program. So somebody like Brad would encourage you perhaps to fill out a form that would ban you from the casinos. If we catch you, we can arrest you for trespassing. Any winnings will be forfeited to the state. So that can be a five-year or a lifetime option. But to what Keith pointed out, you know, look at the tools and resources available through the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program. And you know, we feel we have very proactive initiatives, and certainly with the online component of this, there will be buttons, responsible gaming buttons that people can click on to limit the amount of time they're going to play. It can monitor that. So hopefully, you know, someone like Brad that would take the initiative to not come to our casinos and let our casinos know that that they're there, that he's coming there and doesn't want to be there, that we can then make sure that he can have tools to guide him toward getting the help he might want. Mm-hmm.
Senator Danielson, do you think that sort of path, maybe, so let's say someone is sports betting from an app on their phone and there are options for them to sort of set limits for themselves, do you think that's enough, or should there be a way for an outside person to cut them off without them wanting to be cut off?
Yes, and so there's the initiative of the gambler themselves, but also the technology is built in so that the providers can monitor the normal behavior of that gambler, because they know their customer. There's actually know your customer protocols, and when that gambler deviates significantly, it creates other warnings, and eventually the app can be cut off from that gambler. I would also say to Brad that I worked on the self-exclusion program here. We had a lifetime ban. It was so successful that people who had actually gotten help and had changed their lives around came back to us and asked us to have a shorter version of it instead of a lifetime ban. So if he isn't aware of that program, I think he should be. And I know Representative Kaufman and Senator Smith, both the chairs of this effort in the House and the Senate respectively, are very sensitive and serious about this issue. And if we can improve the things that we're doing now, we will make that a part of the discussion.
Keith White of the National Council on Problem Gambling, how effective nationwide is this sort of self-exclusion? You ban, you decide at some point you've got a problem and you ban yourself from gaming, from gambling. Does that work?
Well, self-exclusion is a very good concept. It's a fairly limited concept in that it requires you to ban yourself, and it requires the gaming operator to successfully identify you and exclude you. And often, we know about 60% of people who self-exclude go back to breach. And the majority of them are not detected when they enter the premises. They're not detected when they start to gamble and lose. They're only detected when they finally win a significant enough jackpot where they have to show identification, and then they're not only ejected from the casino or arrested, but they often lose that jackpot. So I'm not to say that self-exclusion is a bad concept. It absolutely is, and as we all agree, and we've worked a lot with Wes, and we really congratulate him and the association on their efforts, but it's a law enforcement solution to what is a public health problem or a disease. So it's very limited. Iowa does have wraparound services on prevention before that, and it has treatment for people who should be in this program, because self-exclusion itself is limited. And the other thing on apps, which I think are a great point, is that while you know, we're talking about the capability of these apps and big data, as far as I can see, nothing in any of these bills requires operators to use this. And my old boss at the American Gaming Association said, trust but verify. So right now, I mean, you're being told that these apps will include these responsible gaming measures, but as far as I can tell, with all respect, they're not being required. There's no language in here requiring anything of that nature in these apps. And that's the sort of thing the National Council would urge in the consolidated version of this bill, some very specific language and requirements detailing that there be extensive responsible gaming features on these apps, as has been discussed here.
Just a few more minutes left of our conversation about sports betting and changes evidently coming to law here in Iowa. Let's go to Mike in Iowa City. We're short on time. We have a number of points we still want to cover. Mike, welcome to the program. Please be brief. What's your question?
Sure. Question about the gaming apps I've heard mentioned several times. What happens if I lose my phone and somebody picks it up and starts gambling with my app? My phone gets hacked, or one of my kids starts playing with my phone and, you know, bets the house. How do the programs address that?
All right. Sorry to laugh there. That's a serious question, but I'm just trying to picture it. Yeah. Mike in Iowa City, thanks for the question. Who can handle that?
I may try to take an attempt to answer that. You know, certainly there are, it was like with my smartphone, I have a facial ID as well as a fingerprint in order to even access the phone. And then there would be a password secure access to the actual app. So there's checkpoints to even get, if you were to lose your phone, that somebody just couldn't pick it up and likely start, you know, using it to get into that particular account that you would have. And I believe there's a lot of different safeguards that can and would be put in place. Again, what Senator Danielson's alluded to about know your customer and knowing that it's you that's playing and being aware of that with any irregularities. So if someone were to attempt that, I believe it would be vetted fairly quickly to discover that. But it'd be difficult to get in.
And I think also a good comparison for the public is I would compare the conversations I have had on this app would be comparable to an online banking app and all the different security measures and fencing measures so that when you lose your phone, you know, you have to go through a lot for someone to hack into your bank account, similarly to hack into your sports betting account.
Representative Kaufman, I know you've said that you're not really sure yet about how much revenue that this might bring in, but you said there's some consensus around that 6.75% tax rate, which is kind of, I think, low nationwide compared to other states that have done this. Do you think that the amount of revenue that will be brought in will be like a game changer for Iowa's budget, or no?
No, I do not expect this to be a game changer. All the estimates show that the amount of dollars that are created out of this is not a game changer. And I think one of the big flaws of other states that have done this is making the taxation rate so high that people are not encouraged to come out of the shadows. This is the entire point, in my opinion, of doing this, is to bring this industry above board. And if you tax the casinos out of oblivion, they're going to pass that tax on to customers who are going to have no incentive to come out of the shadows.
I wonder, since we already have so many casinos in Iowa, if sports betting, if we're talking to the same group of people or a different group of gamblers here. Wes Ericke of the Iowa Gaming Association, is this a different group? Does it overlap to some degree? Or are we ushering in a whole new group of people and revenue for the state?
I certainly believe that there's a new demographic of people that enjoy watching sports and betting on sports. There will be some overlap, but I think that that's an opportunity then for them to not only come to this casino, perhaps have some organic growth by going into the gaming area, but for those that just specifically enjoy this, I believe it's going to be a younger market that tend to do this. Your 20, 30, perhaps 40-somethings that are going to be your primary audience for this. And so you know, want to be able to create that entertainment opportunity, you know, for them. To go back to Representative Kaufman's point about that 6.75%, in particular, Katerina, that's what Vegas has had established for many years. And in addition to that, we would have a 5% federal excise tax. So that's 11.75. We have to compete then against those illegal offshore sites, the bookmakers, as well as the tribal casinos that wouldn't pay the similar taxes and be able to compete. And if we can be effective in having a robust program here.
The final minute or so of the program, let's hear from our lawmakers. Representative Kaufman, as a representative of the majority party in the Iowa House, how do you see this progressing in the next few weeks?
I think you see the train leaving the tracks and really moving. And I'll echo what Senator Danielson said earlier on, and that is that this is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. I value his expertise from a number of years that he's worked on this. I've had many conversations. I do not expect this to be a partisan issue. I expect this to be a legislator-by-legislator case. And I think that we're going to get the ball moving, having a subcommittee on Thursday with works on crafting the final vote for the next week.
Mm-hmm. And so this law could be in place, in effect, when?
Well, you've got subcommittee, committee, and full floor vote on each side, and then you've got a grace period for the governor to sign or not to sign. So realistically, if we get this done, we're probably looking at April.
At April, and getting it signed and perhaps coming into effect in the new fiscal year?
Correct.
Okay. That's a little bit of a forward-looking comment as we end this conversation about sports betting in Iowa. I want to thank our guests, our two lawmakers, Senator Jeff Danielson of Cedar Falls, Representative Bobby Kaufman of Wilton, Wes Ericke of the Iowa Gaming Association, Keith Miller of Drake University, and Keith White of the National Council on Problem Gambling. Thank you all, and of course, thanks to my co-host, Katarina Sestarek. It's been a nice conversation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, I want to make sure you know that we'll be talking with our new congresswoman here in Iowa, Cindy Axne, due to be live on our program tomorrow. If you have a question, you can call into the program tomorrow. Democrat Cindy Axne of the Iowa's 3rd District. River to River is produced by Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.